Chapter 2, Speaking Things into Existence. I mentioned in Chapter 1 about speaking things into existence. What scripture is that based on? In Genesis, God said, "Let us make man in our image." We are made in the image of God, the God who spoke the worlds into existence. The God who said, "Let there be light," and the sun came into existence, and the stars, and the moon for light at night. So then you and I also have some power to speak things into existence, since we're made in the image of God. With that in mind, people need to be careful not to speak the wrong things into existence. Don't say, "I'm coming down with a cold." Don't say it, even if you think so. You could get a cold when you wouldn't have, simply because you said you would. And I'm sure that's happened to people. Have you read in Mark chapter 11, where you can move a mountain? Jesus said so. You can command the mountain to go, and it will go, if you believe what you say will happen and don't doubt in your heart. I agree with the Bible teacher who said, if you have a problem, that's your mountain. Tell it to go. Of course, your results will be according to your faith, Jesus said. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. The same Bible teacher was on TV, on the DirecTV GTV channel, God TV. He told one evening about a student he had with something wrong with her legs. She could walk with the help of crutches. He told her she needed to command her legs to be well and normal every day. She was already a Christian. She started doing what the teacher said to do. Months later, she was at the shopping mall with her friends. She felt God's power come on her. She threw down the crutches and walked off with normal legs. God wants to do that for all of his people that have health problems. People have mistakenly said, "Well, if God wants to heal me, he knows where I live." No. Jesus said, "Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." Matthew chapter 7. God wants to see your faith in operation. If that young woman hadn't commanded her legs to be well and normal for those months, then at the end of that time, she'd still be on crutches. Jesus said you can move a mountain. You move the mountain, whatever the problem is, with words coupled with faith. You command the mountain to go and believe that what you say will happen and don't doubt in your heart, Jesus said, Mark chapter 11. But there's more to success than just healing for your body. Perhaps you have financial debt that you need to get rid of. If so, that's your mountain. Tell it to go. And tell it to go every day until it's gone, and expect what you say to happen. And don't doubt in your heart. Why am I telling you to do that? Because Jesus said to do that. And Jesus is the greatest teacher there ever was. Now someone said, "You should command just once and then stay in faith." Well, okay, if your faith is up to that level, I've heard it taught both ways. Another Bible teacher said he had something wrong with his knee. He commanded it to be well, like 1,000 times, probably over several months. And then the problem went away. Anyone who thinks they have a better idea than Jesus is mistaken. If your computer is not performing the way you expected, don't you seek out someone who knows more about it than you do? For best results, follow the expert. Jesus is the expert. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Some might say, yes, I've heard before about faith preachers, but did you know that without faith it's impossible to please God? From the book of Hebrews. The just shall live by faith. The just here means righteous people, the right kind of people, God's people, the Christians. You might achieve a few things without putting much faith to work for you, but long term, you won't find lasting success if you're going to try to get there without faith. Learn to put your faith to work. It's how God wants us to live. I mentioned Win Worley, from whom I learned something. He's passed on now. I don't want to say bad things about people, but I believe there is a lesson to be learned from this. Worley apparently tried to do a long fast and stopped eating, but he was very fat. He put himself in the hospital and then died of medical complications. But I think he need not have died when he did. I believe he could have had years more of ministry. Well, why didn't he? There's a scripture that says, cast out the scorner. Win Worley, unfortunately, was a little scornful of faith preachers and felt he was right up there with them, status-wise. And I would say it's true that Win Worley was something of a pioneer in casting out demons. But the knowledge of the things faith preachers preach, I believe, would have kept Win Worley alive and brought him back to health if he had known them and put them into practice. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, the Bible says from Hosea, about chapter 4. From the book of Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Some might ask, do I need to please God? Well, you want to go to heaven, don't you? God is our judge. In school, your teachers gave you a grade depending on how well you did. A student can get an A for doing very well, or an F for doing badly. You might be through at school, but God is scoring you. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you're a God-fearing person, you'll try to please him. But you can't please God if you won't put your faith to work. You have to use faith to become a Christian. You hear the gospel message that Jesus died for our sins. You believe it. You tell God you accept his offer of salvation through Jesus. After doing that, you don't retire your faith. No, you're supposed to keep using faith. I happened to meet a man in Los Angeles. He had been in another religion most of his life, but then he became a Christian. He was well off financially, and I heard him say, I never asked God for anything. I didn't respond to that the first time. But when he said it again later, I said, brother, if you're not asking God for anything, you're walking in disobedience. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, Matthew chapter 7. Maybe the man didn't need much from God for himself, but he was a teacher of a Bible class. I'm sure he could have been asking God to help his students understand the Bible and be prosperous and be healed of whatever sicknesses they might have had, etc. Also, that man seemed to often have a special shoe on one foot, the kind of shoe they give out at the hospital. It would have been good for him to ask the Lord for healing for his foot. I know Jesus said, don't judge, so you won't be judged, but I'm just using this as an example. This man should have been asking God for things and putting his faith to work. But he was a comparatively young Christian. If you're already enjoying perfect health, You can be praying and believing and speaking into existence better prosperity for yourself and your family and many other things that people need that don't just automatically fall into their laps without their doing something about it. You say, but I have been doing something about it. Of course you have. You've been working hard. And you probably know the Bible tells us to be diligent in business. But are you aware the Bible also says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, from the Apostle Paul? In other words, we're not supposed to be using only natural weapons. We're supposed to be using spiritual weapons. You're supposed to bind and loose. Yes, God wants you to do a good job at whatever you do, but for success that lasts, speak faith-filled words to go along with your best efforts with your hands. Talk like this. I call myself expert at what I do. People come to me and ask how to do it, and I show them. I am in great demand for the experience and for the expertise God helps me to have. Wisdom, you're my sister. Understanding, you're my kinswoman. Bible says to say that. Say, wisdom, you're my sister. Understanding, you're my kinswoman. Talk like that. Put faith with your words. Quote God's promises out loud, such as Psalm 1:3, which says, whatever he does will prosper. You can say, praise God, whatever I do will prosper. Why? Because you follow the commandments of the Bible, because you speak his word, because you put your faith into operation with your words. Here's another promise to be quoted out loud from the Bible. I am the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, from Deuteronomy, about chapter 28, I believe. Jesus said you can bind and loose. Are you binding and loosing? Perhaps you say, do I really need to? Yes, sir, you do. Yes, ma'am, you do. Christianity is really the only life. People who don't have Jesus don't have lasting success. The storms of life will come and they'll crash. Jesus said, he that hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a man that built his house on a foundation. And the storms came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it didn't fall because it was built on a foundation. But he that doesn't do these sayings of mine is like a man that without a foundation built his house on the sand. And the storms came and the winds blew and the house fell and great was the fall of it. If you're living in the words of Jesus and putting the words of Jesus into practice, you're like the person that built his house on a foundation. If not, if you're not doing the words of Jesus, Your house is on the sand. The storms will come and you'll crash. You better change sides. You better get into the category of the guy that built his house on the foundation. You can read all the success books you want, but long term it won't work unless you're a partner with God, unless you're a Christian. But as you live the Christian life, you have an adversary, the devil. He wants to hold you back. He wants to defeat you. He wants to discourage you. But Jesus gave us binding and loosing. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. You bind and loose with words spoken out of your mouth. You command the devil to stop doing what he's doing. If you won't bind and loose, then the enemy has more power to hinder you. Now you have to stop the enemy by saying out loud, Satan, take your hands off my finances, and all evil spirits, take your hands off my finances and my health and my family and everything that pertains to us in Jesus' name. Can people go to heaven without doing that? Well, I'm sure that some have. God is merciful. Some have just not had that teaching. Maybe they saw about binding and loosing in the Bible, but they didn't quite see how it applied to them or how to apply it. I've been very fortunate to have found some good Bible teachers. One of them is Kenneth E. Hagin. His books are available at www.rema.org. Rhema's Rhema. Did you know the Bible tells us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? But why with fear and trembling? Doesn't the Bible say that perfect love casts out fear? Yes, but until our love is perfect, some fear and trembling will help to overcome the natural human tendency to neglect spiritual matters. And there's another scripture. Happy is the man that fears always. There is a healthy kind of fear, such as fear of God, and there's an unhealthy kind of fear, such as fear that bad things are going to happen to us. That kind of fear is from the enemy and is to be resisted. The Bible says that Noah, moved with fear, built an ark to the saving of his house. Noah saved himself and his family, moved by fear. That was a good kind of fear. Connected and coupled with the fear of God. God said, I'm going to destroy the world. But here's what you do to save yourself and your family. You make an ark. So Noah built an ark, saved himself and his family, and also saved the animals that live on dry land. The enemy wants to push us in the direction of neglecting the Bible, neglecting Bible study and prayer and the things God tells us to do in the Bible. But we are told, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's in the book of James. But what if we don't resist him? Well, then he'll hang around and try to see how much damage he can do. Don't put up with that. Command him to go. You have the authority, Luke 10:19, Mark chapter 16. Remember Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin taught, the Lord gave him a revelation. The Lord spoke to Kenneth E. Hagin and said, people who are praying for me to do something about the devil are wasting their time. Do not pray for God to do something about the devil. No, because Jesus gave us, the Christians, authority, and he expects us to use it. And if you don't use it, well, then it won't get done for you. So you better use your God-given authority and command the devil to go. Now, some Christians don't know that. But it's in the Bible. And I've been blessed to hear some good teachers that taught me, and now I'm teaching it myself. Some might be tempted to say, it's a lot of work to be a Christian. No, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Long term, it's harder to be a sinner than to be a Christian. And their benefits are not nearly as good as ours. And at the end, they'll go to hell. We go to heaven. There's a scripture that says, the way of transgressors is hard. Well, we don't have a hard way. We have an easy way. Comparatively, it's easier to be a Christian than to be a transgressor. And they will pay a heavy price. They'll pay a heavy price. Their storms will come and they'll crash. Jesus said so. The storms come to us and we survive the storms. Unfortunately, some Christians are not using the weapons available to them. Haven't you seen about the weapons that we have in Ephesians chapter 6? And there's also another scripture that says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I mentioned that earlier. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are supernatural. And we're supposed to be using our supernatural weapons, speaking things into existence, binding and loosing. Now here's some scripture from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. So take to yourselves the whole armor of God, so you'll be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. 14. Stand therefore, having your loins clothed with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. 15. And for shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, this is verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and staying awake regarding that with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul, the apostle, is comparing our Christian life to that of a soldier, because we are, in fact, involved in spiritual warfare, whether we realize it or not. It would be hard to find a better teacher than the Apostle Paul, but I do know of one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I was in the U.S. military myself. You go to boot camp. They issue items of clothing and boots and things you'll need. No soldier in his right mind would go out to battle barefoot. The boots that were issued to him protect his feet. He could become wounded without even taking a bullet merely because he stepped on some glass or a sharp rock and get himself court-martialed for wrongfully endangering himself. Nor does he go out to war leaving his rifle back in the barracks. Yet some Christians go to war lacking one or more pieces of their armor. If your level of success is not all that you hoped for, check up on your weapons that you've been using. Are you missing any weapons that are available to you? Now, I mentioned our authority in Luke 10:19 to cast out demons, but I should point out that Jesus did say there is a kind of demon that doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. Okay, but he doesn't exactly give us a list of which demons you have to pray and fast to cast out and which ones you don't. But I would say cast out all the ones that you can without the fasting. And then if you see that there's something that's belligerent, well then, some prayer and fasting. Here's a scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus said that to Satan when he was tempted by Satan. Is there any part of the Bible you're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Is there any part of the Bible that you've been neglecting? Jesus gave us binding and loosing. If we're smart, we'll submit to Jesus and do the binding and loosing. It's a matter of normal Christian living. Not to do so would be displeasing to God. And God knows how to spank his people if they need a spanking. Personally, I'd like to avoid God spanking me. Now look at this scripture from the Old Testament in Joshua 1:8. God is talking to Joshua, the new leader of Israel after the death of Moses, the man of God. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." Joshua 1:8. When it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth," it means you're supposed to be speaking the word of God. You're supposed to be quoting the word of God. Now, I'm not saying you got to do a lot of work memorizing. I don't say that. I remember Brother Pentecost, Mr. David Duplessis. He was called Mr. Pentecost because he was in on some of the early Pentecostal movements, Azusa Street. And he said, "I don't do a lot of work trying to memorize Scripture." Jesus said the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things that I have said. And I agree with that. And I believe if the Holy Spirit can bring to your remembrance the things Jesus said, he can bring to your remembrance any scripture that you've read. But I would say better read all the scriptures, the whole Bible, so that the Holy Spirit can bring it to your remembrance. And then here's something else. Let's talk about husband and wife. Does the wife have to remember and memorize things that have been told her by her husband? Or does the husband have to write down on paper and carry around in his pocket everything that his wife has said? No, because your spouse is important to you. You have a special relationship with your spouse, and because your spouse is important, you remember the things that they have told you because you love them and you would like to cooperate with them. And similarly, we have a special relationship with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it is important to you, as it ought to be, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, God will help you to remember Scripture. And here's another thing. If you're quoting Scripture every day, you can start, and I've got lists, and I'll sit at my computer and read my list, or some of it's printed out. I might instead of turning on the computer, I might just read out a hard copy that I've printed out. But after you do that for a while, you won't have to go to the computer. You won't have to go to the to the printed version. You'll just remember, here's a situation, here's a scripture that applies here. Praise God, whatever he does will prosper, and that's me it's talking about there. Whatever I set my hand to, God watches over his word to perform it. I had a date with a young lady, half a century ago, who went to the same church I went to, and we went out somewhere, and then I remember that we were sitting and quoting scriptures. And we must have quoted scriptures. She had a pretty good knowledge of the Word of God, and I would quote a scripture, and then she would quote a scripture. I would quote a scripture, she would quote a scripture. We must have quoted scripture for, I would say, at least 20 minutes. I mean, nonstop, we're just quoting scriptures. Why? Because David said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Would you like to live a righteous life? Hide God's word in your heart. You get it into your heart through your eyes and through your ears. Through your eyes when you read the Bible, through your ears when you listen to the Bible being read or listen to preachers. In early days, I followed the advice of an older Christian brother, Brother Bill Severn. He was a terrific athlete and a Christian, and he was not only a football player for Southern California College, it was a Christian college, he was also the coach, a football coach, and a terrific athlete. But he was an older brother, about maybe 7 years older than I was, I would guess. He gave me some advice when I was just a teenager. He said, Fred, you need to read at least a chapter a day in the Bible. If you don't read a chapter a day in the Bible, you'll fall on your face as a Christian. Well, I thought that was a good advice, and I tried to do that. I've missed a few days, and especially if I'm traveling, if I happen to have maybe my Bible is packed away. I have a rather large Bible, and so I don't. It's not part of my carry-on. It's packed away, and if I'm traveling 2 or 3 days, then I've missed a few days. But mostly, I've tried to follow his advice. Although recently, I don't so much read the Bible as listen to it being read, because I have the Bible. I have recordings of the Bible on CDs. And so in the morning, I get up, I put on a CD, I'm listening to a guy read the Bible. And sometimes the guy is myself, I'm listening to myself read promises from the Bible. Every day I try to do that, and I don't miss very many days either. But then on the other hand, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. If I happen to not have a CD player around, I've still got the word of God in my heart. And I've got hard copies of the Bible around. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Bible says. If it looks like you're not very prosperous, speak to the situation like this. Praise God, whatever I do prospers. The blessing of Abraham is on me, whom God made rich. That's in Galatians chapter 3. Just keep on speaking the word of God today and tomorrow and every day remaining to you during your life on earth. You'll be blessed and prosperous and healthy. Now Abraham, the Bible says, believed in hope when there was no hope. God told Abraham, your seed, in other words, your descendants, will be like the sand of the sea. And Abraham was getting way up in years, and his wife. It wasn't until Abraham's about 99 and his wife about 90 that his wife Sarah bore a son to Abraham, Isaac, which means laughter. Now that is very unusual. 90-year-old women generally do not give birth to babies. So it looked like there was no hope. But Abraham believed even when there didn't seem to be any hope. It says he believed in hope when there was no hope. He believed God anyway. And that's what we have to do, like Abraham. He is an example for us. And God wants us to live like that. And God will come through. God will come through. If you're walking in faith and you're walking in love and you're doing the things that you know to do, doing the things the Bible tells you to do. I heard a teacher also tell how the Lord spoke to him words like this. He said the Lord told him, if there's anyone out there with anything wrong with their bodies, they're not worshiping me enough. Yes, I believe Jesus said that. You'll find words of worship and praise in the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. God wants us to speak out of our mouths words he has put in the Bible for our benefit so that we can obtain the blessings he has promised. I was not taught this as a young Christian, but thank God I finally did find this teaching that the just shall live by his faith, and that one way we are supposed to be doing that as a normal, natural part of living our lives is to quote out of our mouths the promises of God from the Bible in response to situations we encounter in living our lives. Let me give you another example that I heard from a Bible teacher. He talked about a husband and wife, and the husband came down with a very serious health problem, went to the hospital, and this Bible teacher said the Lord showed him what to tell the wife. And he told the wife, now here's what to do. You say with your mouth out loud, Jesus said I can have what I say. And I say my husband will live. And she just kept saying that. Jesus said, I can have what I say, and I say my husband will live. And that, of course, is based on Mark chapter 11. You can speak to the mountain and tell it to go. You can have what you say. And she kept saying that. And sometime during the night, I think she didn't really mean to, but she fell asleep. But she woke up, and she immediately started saying that again. Jesus said, I can have what I say, and I say my husband will live and not die. And you know what happened? She got what she said. Her husband lived and recovered. Got out of the hospital. Became normal again. Healed, healthy. Because she put a verse of scripture into operation where Jesus said, you can have what you say. Thank God for Bible teachers that teach that. Unfortunately, some Bible teachers don't. I was in the lobby of the building I live in, and a man came in and started talking about people losing their benefits. I answered him, the Lord's not going to let that happen to me. That was my faith speaking. You're supposed to let your faith speaking. You're supposed to let your faith talk. Let your faith speak. I think it was Bosworth that said, believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. Don't give voice to unbelief. Don't speak words of unbelief. Speak words of faith. The Lord's not going to let me lose my benefits, and He won't because I say He won't. And He will honor my faith. Now, there are Christians that don't know to do that. And the rent comes due, and people start talking, well, I don't know, looks like we might lose the house. No, 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 you're not supposed to talk that way. Of course, if you don't know any better, then you might talk the wrong way. But talk faith words, talk in faith. Don't ever say, well, looks like the devil's going to win this battle. Don't ever say that. You put your trust in the Lord. You put your faith with your words. You don't doubt in your heart. Kenneth E. Hagin used to say, God's word says it. I believe it. That settles it. The Bible says to rest in the Lord. Smith Wigglesworth was an important man of God. He said sometimes we must voice things to make them happen. Wigglesworth helped a lot of people. He even raised the dead. I'm sure he has a very good name in heaven. But I would say it even stronger. I would say we should be like God, binding and loosing and speaking things into existence just pretty much all the time as a normal, natural part of living our lives. Of course, we're also told in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. But I think most Christians already know they're supposed to pray, but many have not been told to put Joshua 1:8 into work and speak God's promises out of their mouths just as a normal, everyday part of living the Christian life. Doing so will strengthen your faith. And without faith, we can't please God. Here's another way to build up yourself on your most holy faith. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's Jude, verse 20. It's the last book before Revelation. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. You build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you pray in the Holy Ghost? Well, first, you have to be a Christian. Then, you must have received from the Lord Jesus the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then, having received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can pray in unknown tongues anytime you want, day or night. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Paul says, I will pray with the understanding, and I will pray with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding, and I will sing in the spirit. Okay, with the understanding, that means your normal language that you learn. And then in the spirit, that means with unknown tongues. When Paul says he will do that, it means we should too, because in 1 Corinthians 11:1 it says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.